Welcome to the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. Here you will get inspirations and insights that will help you to manage your virtual team and to overcome the challenges of working remotely. Have fun! Welcome to another episode of the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. Today I have an interview with Mateo Strobinski, and he's going to share with us his personal story about working remotely. And you're also going to discuss why remote and flexible work is becoming an important factor for companies for finding talents in the future. Hi, Mateo. I'm very happy to have you on this episode today.
Thank you for having me, first of all, Nadine. Your podcast. Short story first about myself. I am Mateusz Sobczyński. I am 36 years old. I am of Icelandic Polish origin. I am raised in Denmark. I'm in Germany since 2011. I now live in Wolfsburg with my wife and my two little boys, 1 year old and a 2 year old. So that's me as a person. What I do is I'm part of a team called Adopter. We are a team of 5 people. It's Franziska, Matthias, Christopher, Marius, and myself. And we are a redoing consultancy. Adopter is a three part, we do 3 different things. So first of all is we help, most important, we help small and medium sized companies through that digital transformation with different digitalization projects. The second important thing, very important thing for us, we do startup scouting. Because we believe that not every small and mid-sized company needs a huge SAP or Microsoft or Oracle solutions. Sometimes we can find small startups somewhere in the middle of nowhere which are developing solutions which fits perfectly for the need which is needed by the small and mid-sized companies. So that's also what we do. And if we don't find a solution, but we still have a need, then we move to the third option. We develop new scalable solutions. It means,
okay.
We are lucky enough. Adopter is an internal startup of a bigger, IT company in Bremen called PTS. And they have given us the opportunity to start this group and redefine consulting. And they also give us all the resources which PTS has. PTS is 150 IT people and working in the field of IT. And we have all the cool resources of PTS to help us develop own scalable solutions. So if we have a need of a customer, we can recognize a need in the market. But we can't find a solution in the startup scene or also can't find any bigger enterprise solutions. We start developing new software, and we do that often with parts from other startups. Right now, just an example, quick example. We have a startup which is helping us develop a new dashboard solution for the e-commerce scene. So that will be launching in the first 2020, and that's one of the. The third thing that we do that pretty much describes us as a group.
And you are acting as an investor, as I understand.
No.
Or like an investor or?
No, we actually don't do that. That's what most other companies do. What we do is we find the startups and we partner with them.
Okay.
It means we do partnerships. Now, right now, with the one which we developed in the dashboard, we say the dashboard when it's ready, then we will share the profits which are made of the dashboard in some shape or form in a contract. We do not invest in anything. What we do, we help the startups market themselves. Okay. We find the customers for them, and of course we do that in some kind of a sales partnership.
Yeah, it's very interesting strategy you do. So we have your own resources, you find resources on the market and help them to succeed on the market and acting
exactly.
As a partnership, yes. And how long have you been working in a remote team? Or what's your personal story about remote working?
We've been doing this since March, 4th of March, which is a very monumental date for us because we all came from a very traditional traditional work environments, and we came to Adaptor. And as we started, we decided this will be the way that we will work, because I mean, I live in Wolfsburg. Our company is has a post box in Bremen. Two of my colleagues are from Bremen. Another colleague of mine is from Hamburg, and a third one is from near Berlin. So we've decided, okay, there's no need for us to move. We have the technology to do this remotely, to put this up, to set this, the whole thing remotely. And we also want to push all the barriers of what remote work can be.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, we will do this. We meet, of course, occasionally we do meet. It's once every 2 weeks, or maybe once a week, depending on the circumstances. Sometimes we just meet somewhere in Germany, but the last time we were all together in one place, it's a couple of weeks ago. So we are very much dependent. But the cool thing is, what really is I find really cool is, due to the fact that we have all the infrastructure technology to do remote work, is that although I don't see my team members every day, I don't feel in any way less part of a team, because...
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because we have all the... I've even more part of a team right now than I ever did when I was in physical teams, because we are always connected through the technology. Now, we don't have to set up meetings, or we chat just. We can randomly chat about teams. What I always thought that, okay, you had to do meetings for. Now, we have been able to eliminate meetings through the fact that we have much more organic than remote. The remote ecosystem has given us a much more organic communication with each other, which you would not have within one company.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because I know many remote workers struggle with isolation or lack of team spirit mm-hmm. when they work remotely. So you have great processes, I think, or set up a good communication within your team.
Yeah. I mean, it's really depends on how you set up the team. I really believe that of course the big reason why it really works with us communication wise is that we are all millennials. We mm-hmm. are all used to the technology.
Yes.
We are born with the technology, so it's not foreign to us. Man. So we don't feel isolated, because every single one of my colleagues is within a hand reach of me, you know, on my phone or on my laptop or wherever. No? So I don't feel isolated just because I have them on the phone. No? So I think that's maybe more if you're used to a more social, the old structure of always coming to work and being there from 9 to 5.
Yes.
That you miss this part.
Yeah, and what did you miss in the normal 9 to 5 job, and what is the huge difference now in working in a remote team?
But first of all, my last station was head of logistics at a mid-sized company in Magdeburg. So I didn't have your usual 9 to 5 job. I actually had, I could work everything from 10 to 16 hours sometimes. So,
okay. So, usual 9 to 5, quite a lot more.
I had a whole very big team, of course. And the problem was also that I spent most of my time, and I mean really most of my time, in meetings. And I don't have that, due to the fact that I remember every single discussion point was a meeting.
Yeah.
And you don't have that now due to the technology. It's like, I can tell you also, like 50% of all our meetings I had, I didn't even have anything to say. It was more informative for me.
Yes.
Maybe because of logistics, it was in some way always a part of something. I was just sitting in the room, and they just wanted to have me sitting in the room so I could just listen and register what they're saying in the case that logistics would ever be an issue for us.
And you have to travel to these meetings around the world. Okay.
Yeah. So I spend most of the time in meetings, and the difference, I mean, I don't miss any of that anymore. I mean, the difference due to the fact that the remote thing is that you have this this organic communication. I don't need to be at every single meeting. We can discuss small small topics we can discuss lively in the chat. It takes 5 minutes and we're done. And I also don't need this meetings where I'm just informed about something. If I need informed about something, we work with Teams, but there are also things like Slack and other programs like this, which gives you the opportunity to have message boards, right, where you can put actually information and it's always in the reach of you. So you don't need to go to meetings just to find out about something which you don't actively are a part of. So the technology is definitely really helped me, let's say, get used to this remote work.
Yes.
And I love it absolutely. I think it's, I don't miss a single part of having to go to office every morning. Also because it was this idea. And this is what I think the problem is about the classical structure of work is that you have to sit there for some hours.
Yes.
It was based on, I have to be there at 9, I have to be and go there at I don't know, 8. And if I went early, somebody thinks, okay, I'm working less.
Yeah.
While here, while in a remote environment, nobody cares when I work, nobody cares how many hours I work. The most important thing, I have tasks, I need to solve these tasks. I have things I have to do. So I get, my team members, they put trust in me that I can do the tasks that I'm supposed to do, that I maybe don't do them within this rigid structure of 9 to 5. It doesn't matter for them. Sometimes, a good example is we had a couple of weeks where my kids were very sick. I mean, it's with small kids, it happens all the time. I had to help a little bit more around the house.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do it. I mean, in the 9 to 5, I wasn't able to work that much. So I just worked in the evening. It didn't matter. My colleague just wanted to know that the things that I was supposed to do, I did them.
Yeah. So for myself, I have times when I'm more productive than I'm productive in the morning and in the evening, and the afternoon I'm less productive. So I love working in the very early in the morning and late afternoon and in the evening. So if I work the full 8 hours, I can't concentrate 8 hours. So I leave in the afternoon doing my hobbies or something else, and then coming back to the office and working again. And then I'm more productive than working the straight 8 hours. And I don't have the concentration at all for working 8 hours.
Exactly. Yeah.
And why do you believe that remote working is becoming such an important factor for companies in the future?
I think it's a little bit. I mean, that's what we always tell our customers. I think it's a little bit. You do it, or you will not be able to. If you don't participate in remote working and don't offer it, then you will have a problem in the future, because the new generation is used to this flexibility. The millennials on one side, but even the Gen Zs will be even more used to the flexibility. So I think the one thing what we very much do is always tell our customers that, hey, what will kill you is not the fact that you don't have enough business. What will kill you is that you will not have enough people you can hire.
Yes.
So you have to offer some flexibility. You have to change your mindset. You have to stop thinking that a workforce has to be there so you can look at them for 8 hours and then they go home. A workforce is there to achieve something, to do tasks, and whenever they do it, has nothing to do with the time when they do it. So that's what we are, especially because small and mid-sized companies are, some of them are very traditional. So it's a tough fight trying to explain this, but I think slowly we're getting to them, because the fact that they're also seeing that it's really difficult to hire people.
Yes.
And especially because the big companies, the grand corporations, they already know this. So they are of course already setting these new systems up. So a young person looking for a job, they will run to a company which offers them a flexibility.
Yeah.
And offer them this as an option for work.
Yeah, I have experienced that in Germany, the small and the mid-sized companies are very traditional. And the bigger the company gets, they try to foster remote working because there's no lack of talents here in Germany.
Yeah.
And I also have the experience that we in Germany are very behind from other compared to other countries in the European Union or in the world. It's just my experience. I don't know what your experience is yep. about. Sometimes we are in the middle age compared yeah. to other companies. Okay, I mean, don't talk no. about Berlin. Berlin is an island. Maybe
<That's true.
laughs> I mean, think about Munich, Cologne, Hamburg,
absolutely.
Or Frankfurt is more international, so it's more common.
I can tell you that an example is that I told you that I was in Kiel today, and I traveled from home in Wolfsburg. And I mean, for the whole time from Hannover to Kiel, I mean, I had near to no internet.
Yes.
I mean, that is what is a problem in Germany. That
yes.
would be a huge problem in Germany, because even the smallest country, countries which we always thought of being underdeveloped, I mean, like Eastern European countries, which we always thought that they were behind us, they are coming and they are taking over. I mean, there are countries which are much better infrastructurally ready than Germany is. Yes, that is a huge problem. I think that's going to be a very big issue which Germany has to tackle.
Yeah, that's a lack of high-speed internet in the train. When I travel very often from Frankfurt to Berlin, and when I go via Leipzig, it's quite good because it's a new high-speed train connection. But when I travel via Hamburg or Hannover, I have to do offline work. All my things I have to do offline for the 4-hour train ride. So when I talk with somebody from Switzerland and he says he's in a train, I can't believe it. It's a clear connection. And then when I have calls with my customer and I know I'm going to be in the train, I always have to say, I don't know if I have any connections or any connection to call with you. and then my customers from Switzerland, they don't understand this.
Yeah, I know. I also have a call this evening with a potential customer, and I always to check exactly where I am and plan accordingly
yes.
with my trains. Né? And that's should not be a problem in the 21st century, to be
yes,
honest.
Yes, so, I'm with you.
So that's the biggest challenge for Germany.
Okay. From next question, from your point of view, what are the success factors of a remote team? What should a remote team have to do remote work efficiently and productively?
I am a little bit of the mind that not everybody is successful in this environment of remote work, but it's because it does need a lot of independency. It also needs a teams which trust each other, and you kind of have to have an open mind. Right? So, I mean, that was the biggest thing that we always were fearful in the beginning, is because we came from this other whole structures, because we all came from these old school structures, that we would not get used to it. But I think that is the biggest requirement, is having the team members that are able to do it, because I don't think it works for everybody. Some people are maybe just better program for the 9-to-5, and also need the daily travel or meeting with colleagues. So the independence and trust and open mind is something you absolutely need if you want to be a successful remote team.
So you need special skills to do remote work, in your opinion.
I don't know. I don't know if independence is a special skill. I think it depends. I think it's a personal trait. I mean,
also mind or more mindset of a person.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. It's a mindset thing. You also have to understand that this stupid point which always gets mentioned when you talk about remote. How do you control the workers? That's the thing. Don't control the workers. The workers are responsible for their own work, and they also are obligated to do the work. So let's say they have to have, I mean, we have this really cool thing that we really are, we really feel as a part of this team and we really love our little brand. And we all are really passionately trying to push our brand. So for us, it's very, we are very committed to it. So that's what you need. You need a bunch of committed people that actually really want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And when, if the worker has the right mindset, and what support do they need? Or you have a mindset, or I think you need, or organizations should give support for the remote teams. And what do you think a remote team, what support does a remote team need?
I mean, first of all, the technology is important. You do have to have some kind of system that actually allows this. But today it's not difficult to get. Slacks, Teams, and whatever. There's a lot of things out there that work very well for that. That is important because you have to have this open flow of communication. Other thing is you should have some set cultural rules. No? I mean, you have yeah. should have some you're a team. We work like this. That's what we have. We have like a 10 rule thing that it could be something like, hey, within between 12 and 13 1300 that we are not, we don't have to be online because we are maybe eating lunch, or that if something happens during the day that we just quickly inform, hey guys, I will be out for 2 hours or whatever. The most important things are these rules, so people know on which level they're working on.
Yeah. Okay. So you set up some guidelines in an agreement.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. That's the most important. And of course, if you are from a company side, if you're trying to put out a remote team or trying to establish a remote team in the beginning, do a lot of feedback rounds. Make sure that everybody is let's say enjoying their remote experience. Yeah. Right? Not that somebody in the team is actually feeling isolated. So in the beginning, I would say, be sure that even on a weekly basis, if you're boss on a weekly basis, hey, talk to your team members, ask them, how are you doing? Are you feel that you fitted in this remote structure? Because the problem is if somebody's not doing well, you don't see it right away.
Yes.
You need actively to get the feedback.
But I think at the beginning you need more communication, and then it depends on the person. Absolutely. How much communication somebody needs.
Absolutely.
So if you're a person, you're very independent, you don't need any communications at all, and you are transparent if any problems occur. So, and there are some persons, they don't say if they see any problems, so they try to solve them at their own struggle. So it really depends on the person, and you as a leader should know your people and how to lead them and how to communicate with them.
Very much so. You have to have the skills of empathy to see, to recognize some warning signs if somebody's not doing well. That is really important.
Yeah. You think as a leader, you need more empathy than with the on-site team.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For the last question, Matthias, what are your three takeaways to companies that are just start out and building distributed teams? What would you recommend to them?
Okay, yeah, it brings a little bit to the last question. I mean, most important, set common rules, guidelines, as you called it.
Yeah.
Don't micromanage. Set goals. I mean, what we do, I mean, a very good idea for us was to implement OKRs. So we work with OKRs in our team, meaning that we have a transparent goal. Everybody sees what's the goal of the others. We talk very much about our goals, and how you get to that goal is not that important as that we get to those goals. So get used to the fact that you can't look over the shoulder of people. Set goals and make sure that your team gets to their goals. The third thing is have an open mind for the experience. I mean, there's a lot to learn in the beginning. If you're totally new to remote, there will be some stress in the beginning on both sides, probably on the side of the company and also on the side of the employee. But there is that within some time, this will be normal to you. I think it's getting used from the old structures. You have to just have an open mind, set some timeline, how long you want to do it. Be sure to regularly check how it's working, if everybody is meeting their goals, if everything is working well. After that, it's an autopilot thing. But in the beginning, just have an extra eye on the whole situation.
Thanks a lot, Mateus, for sharing with us your personal story about working remotely and for your insights about working in a remote team on a daily business. And thanks a lot for listening to this episode, and watch out for the next episode of the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. Bye.